Welcome to International Dispute Negotiation, your guide to resolving disputes everywhere.
This is Mike McElrath, and this podcast is about different ways of accepting and managing the risks of dispute resolution, presenting them through the eyes of experts from different countries and backgrounds.
I estimate that around 1 in 10 at most of cases where mediation is proposed actually get to a mediation room.
In last week's episode of IDN, Michael Leitz, the executive director of IMI, the International Mediation Institute in the Netherlands, explained how IMI is seeking to promote mediation around the world by developing common standards, certifying those who comply with them, and broadening access to information about the competency and quality of those who call themselves mediators. This week, we continue that discussion with Michael and I discussing why the two of us think IMI is a good idea and why it would help mediation grow as a global profession. By way of disclosures, Michael was formerly the head of intellectual property at British American Tobacco in London. He's been a prominent supporter of the development of mediation around the world, and especially in Europe. In fact, he's a former board member of the CPR Institute, which hosts this podcast. For myself, in addition to being the head of litigation of GE Oil and Gas, a division of the General Electric Company, for 2009, I'm also serving as chairman of the IMI board. We start our discussion with Michael turning the tables on the interviewer, asking me why my employer, General Electric, stands squarely behind mediation as a form of dispute resolution and behind IMI as a way of expanding its international reach.
You are working for a company that prides itself on quality, Six Sigma and all that, and you have ended up as chair for 2009 of IMI. Why? And not only from your own perspective, but from GE's perspective.
Yeah, no, I can speak very comfortably from GE's perspective here, because IMI is an initiative that GE believes in very strongly. You know, as you mentioned, quality and Six Sigma and many of the other initiatives that GE believes in. Echo imagination is something else, you know, ecologically friendly applications and technology that we're trying to introduce.
Exactly.
In the legal world, mediation is a concept that we have always liked to be associated with. We think that it is a positive process, that it reduces the cost and the downside of conflict. We've been pleased to see mediation as a practice grow around the world. But I'll tell you, Michael, I think the main reason driving our involvement in IMI, our desire to see IMI be successful, is that we want to see mediation be more successful around the world. And it has been, you know, many of us, I am among many who've seen it most, because I guess my practice is fairly global within the division that I'm responsible for the litigation. It is incredibly frustrating often to try to get a mediation started. There's this concept of asymmetries of information. You know, because we're a very pro-mediation company, we tend to know a lot about mediation. And in fact, we can often get decent information about mediators.
Exactly.
But the other side doesn't have that.
Exactly. And it takes two to tango.
And so where we wind up with was one side, us, being informed about mediation, knowing that if we get to a mediation that we can settle this case, that the case is crying out for settlement. But settlement negotiations and dialogue with the parties and communications have broken down. How do we get to mediation? Well, if we were in a pro-mediation jurisdiction like the UK or the United States, we may very well get to mediation because Norway is another place where I've just never seemed to have any problem getting a mediation going because the lawyers there seem to know it. But other jurisdictions, it's much more of a challenge. That's mm-hmm. one reason. The other reason, and I know that Wolfgang Kuberg, who was the chairman before me and is assistant general counsel of Northrop Grumman, and that is the importance of quality in mediation. Again, my little tirade or the point that I've been championing has always been just getting to mediation, getting a mediation started is the main challenge.
Exactly.
Wolf, I think, has always made a very good point that, yeah, but you have to have quality mediation, because if you have poor quality, you will turn people off from the process. They will not want to re-engage. And, one bad mediation experience means that someone may not try it again. In fact, a recent podcast we had was with a senior lawyer with a very large international engineering company who said, they had one mediation. It didn't really sound like a mediation as you and I would characterize it, but they thought it was a mediation. Uh-huh. And they tried it and in good faith, and it didn't lead to a settlement. And as a result, I think he was left with the feeling that, well, this may not be the best process for us to be involved in. Maybe we should just try, to keep reaching settlement when we can. And if not, then we have arbitration. And, for somebody who's seen many mediations succeed where everybody thought that the dispute could not settle, and yet you've seen it settle in mediation, your heart cries out for something that would come along and help avoid situations like that and provide people both with information about the process that would get them involved, but then also certain quality standards and controls so that when they do get involved, it'll be successful and they'll want to do it again.
Yeah, well, exactly. There's a lot of inspiration in this field. I agree with all of that. But getting the other party to the table, I've spent all my career as a corporate counsel, and my biggest problem always was getting the other side to the negotiating table in the right frame of mind.
Yeah, I think actually you and I had this conversation some months ago.
I think
I'm probably about 1 out of 20 offers to mediate.
Right.
Actually gets to mediation.
Yeah.
And you were skeptical that number was accurate. You thought the number might actually be much higher.
Yeah, I've yet to meet someone that would challenge 1 in 10. Who knows, because there's no science in it, but there's no accurate data on it. But 1 in 20 to 1 in 30, 1 in 40, something like that. But what mediators don't see is the cases that don't get ever to mediation.
Right.
And they just see their what comes to them. And Jay Welsh of JAM said a really interesting thing at a conference last year. He said that the size of the mediation market in the United States was around $500 million, which is equivalent to the gross billings of America's 50th largest law firm. In other words, it's that small.
Yeah. Well, that's the actual market. I think the potential market.
If you say that, let's use the conservative number of 1 in 10 only gets to mediation, then if you use that figure, then by projection, the market is something in the region of, it runs into billions, 5 billion. So who knows? But what we do know is that if only we can inspire confidence in the mediation process, confidence in the mediation deliverers, that is the mediators and their provider institutions, a lot more people would be likely to come. They need to view mediation as a freestanding profession and respect it. And I think that will significantly grow this field locally, nationally, and internationally.
The market for mediation, or the market for the potential market for mediation, is so much greater today than the actual number of mediations being conducted. And so we see within GE IMI as a way of potentially matching disputes better to the mediation, to really, as you said, marketing or growing the mediation market. And not that we have any stake. I mean, believe me, GE has no financial interest in mediation as an industry.
No, of course not.
But
no.
We see it as a way that makes us more efficient, makes us a better competitor in the marketplace. So if mediation grows, what's good for mediation tends to be good for us.
It doesn't just make you a better competitor, which it does do. It makes you a better party to do business with. Those that are known to litigate, have a reputation to litigate at the slightest opportunity, are generally not those that are respected as being the party to be with, because they run their business and their relationships on the basis of fear. And GE, a very successful organization and a very pragmatic one at that, is widely respected as being a party you want to be with. And I think that kind of philosophy that is manifesting itself in your corporate attitude to mediation is symptomatic of just that.
Well, I appreciate that. And let me return the compliment, though, by asking you to tell the story about your flight on a plane to Singapore, and the person that you read about, or I think you read an article on the way over, about somebody who was boasting about their litigation.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was an article in the Financial Times about a dispute that had been going, being litigated for a couple of years. It was a major commercial lawsuit, and one of the attorneys was interviewed in the newspaper as commenting very favorably that this dispute probably had several more years yet to run, as if that was a real advantage. And when I read this, one of the parties was actually Asian. And I was heading out towards Asia, and I realized that on my return, I was changing planes in the city where this party was located. So when I arrived, I called up the general counsel of that company and said who I was, and said I was really interested in promoting mediation, had no interest in this particular case that I only just read about.
You were with British American Tobacco at the time.
I was at the time.
The head of intellectual property.
I was. I had no this dispute had nothing to do with my company's business or the field that it was in or anything like that.
You just felt like kibitzing.
I was so outraged.
I do the same.
So. Yeah. So actually, I met with her. She was the general counsel of this very, very large, well-known corporation. I had lunch with her, and I said, why don't you consider appointing a mediator to help you and your counterparty resolve this? And she said, I've thought about it many times, but the other party would never, ever agree. And if we were to propose it, they would just misinterpret that signal. And I asked her what was the name of the general counsel of her counterparty, and she gave me the off the top of her head his name and telephone number. And when I got there, they were located in Europe, and when I got back to the UK, I called this guy with her permission. I didn't say that I had met with her, and I said I read about the case in the newspaper and had they considered mediation. And to my complete astonishment, he said yes, but you know, these Asians, they will not agree to something like that, and I'm not prepared to. It was subsequently resolved, not through my involvement, through mediation. So it was a negotiated settlement was arrived at, I'm very glad to say, but a couple of years later. So it just goes to show, and you know, you need a convener in life at times, because people are, it's human nature, people are apt to make assumptions that are incorrect. I've been guilty of it many times in my life. I've seen others do the same, and one should never assume.
Well, and Michael, that's a great story, and on that I think we can say that hopefully IMI will play a role, that it will bring the parties, make it easier for parties to move closer together and find a settlement through mediation, rather than just assuming that both sides have no understanding or don't know what the process is about.
Yeah. And I hope that those that challenge this and are dubious and hesitant Well, just remember what was written by Frances Hodgson Bennett in The Secret Garden, where she wrote, "At first we hesitate to believe that a new thing can be done. Soon we see it can be done and we hope it is. And then when it is done, we wonder why it wasn't done long ago." And I think IMI falls precisely within those words written in 1911.
Well, and I'd say something less gracious and simply say to those who doubt and don't want to sign up that they're not going to be found by those who are looking in a database
for quality
mediators. So.
No, you've got to be in it to win it.
So hopefully people get in the game. Well, listen, thank you so much, Michael.
Really okay, thank you, Mike.
You've been listening to International Dispute Negotiation. This podcast is presented by the International Institute for Conflict Prevention and Resolution, CPR. CPR is a membership-based nonprofit organization that promotes excellence and innovation in public and private dispute resolution, providing an international resource for the avoidance, management, and resolution of business disputes. For further information about CPR, or to download archived versions of this podcast, go to www.cpradr.org. Questions about this podcast or the issues discussed can be addressed to idn@cpradr.org. The music of Note Noir is used with permission.